Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Topically Yours show on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And you know what? I had a great week, and tomorrow, which is Friday, I'm heading down to the St. Luke's Theater on 46th Street to view a show entitled Cougar the Musical, directed by Lynn Taylor Corbett. And now some of you may have been introduced to cougarism via the movie Stellar Got a Groove Back, wherein within the movie, actress Angela Bassett plays the role of a middle-aged woman on vacation, hoping to have some fun and get away from the disappointments and stresses of the world. And she wasn't particularly searching for a younger man and even railed against the idea initially. And after all, she felt, what could the younger man do for her ultimately? She wondered what they even had in common besides sex. Yet, by the end of the movie, our heroine had developed an acquired taste for young men, or at least a particular young man. Now, most of us remember what Terry McMillan's, what the ultimate end for her was, and she was the writer of the book that gave birth to that movie. However, on this show, I will be talking to actress Brenda Braxton about her role as one of the cougars and what her views are on May-September relationships. And I'm certain my second guest, because I have two today, Donna Moore, will have a lot to say on the subject matter since she is the playwright of Cougar the Musical, a play that she's been actually developing for 8 years. Cougar the Musical opens off Broadway on August 26th. And if you want tickets, I suggest you call 212-239-6200 or go online at telecharge.com. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about our guest before I introduce him. Brenda Braxton has appeared on Broadway in Smokey Joe's Cafe, Chicago, Dreamgirls, Jelly's Last Jam, and Cats. She is the recipient of several awards, including a Tony nomination, the Living Dream Award, and the Josephine Baker Award, and a Grammy for Best Cast Album. Hmm. And when it comes to men, if you need some grooming, Brenda can fix you right up by her exceptional grooming for Exceptional Men Grooming Salon in Harlem. And moving on to Donna Moore, well, all I can say is she's not just a playwright. She's also a lyricist and composer. And Moore started her career very early at 11 and went on to write with several talented composers. She appeared on the PBS series Zoom and is currently working on a play entitled I Need a Lawyer or a Hitman. Well, just from that title alone, I would say it's a comedy. But you know what? I have the ladies here, so I'm going to launch right into the show and welcome them both to the show. Welcome, Brenda, and welcome, Donna.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, why don't you tell me what, well, we'll start with you, Donna. Tell me what prompted you to write Cougar, the musical.
Okay. Well, this, as you said, this started 8 years ago, and it started as a cabaret show. I had a 3.5-year run in the cabaret house, Don't Tell Mama, which is ironically diagonally across from the St. Luke's Theater on 46th Street. And I had written a show called The Unbalancing Act, which was about my divorce. And that's when I started writing original music. And I was 42, and I went to a party with a girlfriend of a 30-year-old man that she was sort of, you know, kind of had a thing for. And I heard the term cougar. And I remember, I was also doing stand-up comedy at the time, and I remember thinking, whoa, you know, why are we giving a woman a derogatory name, so to speak, you know, who is even, you know, having any kind of a dalliance or a relationship with a younger man? Like, what do you call an older man who's linked with a younger woman? Now, I've researched it. It's called man. So,
or sugar daddy.
Or sugar daddy, yeah. And but I just, it made me start thinking, you know, like, why? Why? And I wrote a song called The Cougar, which was in my show, The Unbalancing Act, and it was like the 11th hour number of the show, and there was a producer in the audience at one point, and he said if I wrote a whole show about that, he'd get behind me, and up till then I'd been self-produced, so then I wrote with him, and his name is R.K. Green, and he is one of my associate producers now, which is just wonderful. And we wrote The Cougar Cabaret, which starred myself and Danny Bernardi, which is my exquisite young buck who does the show now off-Broadway and is one of Brenda Braxton's wonderful actors, that, or the actor that she's able to play with every night. Anyway, we just got a lot of buzz, and people really liked the show when it was in cabaret, and then I was... You know, people said, develop this, because it was just myself and Danny, and we each played three different characters, and so I developed it. It took me 4 years to develop it into a three-woman, one-man who plays eight different characters show that had the same energetic humor and soul that the cabaret show had. And now we're here, and oh my God! And I'm so blessed, and I'm now producing this show, and just sort of stepping back and letting three exquisite sister goddesses do the roles.
Do their thing.
And it's really exciting, really, and I'm so blessed.
Well, what does your role mean to you, Brenda? Are you having fun?
I am having fun. Once I'm finally learning my lines and my lyrics and choreography, I'm starting to have fun now. And what I like about the piece is that it's very smart, it's very respectful, it's very, it's while it's tongue-in-cheek, it's still very, it makes you think, and it makes you feel fine if you are that older woman who chooses to date younger men, you know, and it's empowering. And I think women leave, I think everyone leaves there with a whole different sensibility about the whole cougar phenomenon, as you would put it, or the term. I don't necessarily think it's a bad term. I tend to take life with a grain of salt most of the time, or I try to anyway. So I call me a cougar, call me whatever you want to. I think it's how I portray myself that makes the difference, you know, whether I'm dating an older man or a younger man or whatever. But I'm
but
having
why a cougar?
Ball.
Because isn't a cougar an aggressive animal?
Yes, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing.
But
powerful,
you know what,
aggressive, strong, which most older women are because we've lived and we know what we want, we know what we don't want, most of us, and we're not afraid to ask for what we want, and we're not afraid to say no, which is a complete sentence in itself. Mm. So, you know,
well, I agree
I don't
there.
Think it's a bad thing. I don't.
You know, Deirdre, when I was doing the show in Cabaret, probably 6 years ago or 7 years ago, I started being, they started looking at me as a cougar expert, which I thought was hilarious because I just, you know, had written a song and then expounded upon that. But what I really believe, and this is the mission that I have had with the show for the last, 8 years, and with all the twists and turns of my life and the twists and turns of what it takes to get a show off Broadway and then on tour and then, you know, touching the world in a profound way, the one thing that has remained the same is that I believe that this whole cougar phenomenon is actually an energetic yearning to embrace a more matriarchal system after a millennia of patriarchal dictation. And I believe that the way, the reason we're even focused on the older woman is that we are yearning for women to embrace their sacred feminine and say yes to themselves and their just their sacred power. And I also believe, since energy cannot be created nor destroyed, that we all, men and women, have masculine and feminine within us, and that the healing that we need on the planet is about embracing that sacred feminine. So I really think that we have this wonderful opportunity to say yes to our lives, you know, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, you know, and, you know, so that's what I actually believe that this whole cougar phenomenon means.
But for me, it means also that, what is the age? Where do you draw the line as to how young does the man get?
Brenda, I'll let you take that one.
Well, you know, it's funny. I keep going back and forth with it. First of all, a cougar is not supposed to be a woman who is younger than 40, for one thing. So these older girls who are like 30-something call themselves cougars, no, that's so not it. So I think if you're 40 and you date someone 5 years your junior, to me, that's a cutoff. I think after that, no matter what age you are, it depends on the two people. It depends on the maturity level of the gentleman and the, I guess, the maturity level of the woman as well. Because now with women taking care of themselves so wonderfully, you have so many women who are in their 50s who still, you know, they can still maybe not pass for 30, but they have the energy because they're taking care of themselves. They have the energy and the spunk of an early 40-year-old or a late 30-year-old. So I think that makes a big difference. You know, if you're, I wouldn't go any lower than 35, really, if you're considering yourself a cougar. I've gone back and forth. I'm 56 right now. And I've had young guys hit on me, like, in their 20s. And that's cute, but it's so not real. But I've had young guys in their 30s hit on me, and you'd be surprised just the difference in a couple of years, even for guys. You know, and then it also depends on what they've gone through their lives. You know, some of these, the ball players or the hip-hoppers, they've gone through a lot in their lives. And they're making their money. They're taking care of whatever they need to take care of at an age of, what, 32, 33, 34, and they're very mature. And so if someone comes to me and talks to me and represents himself in a decent way and treats me respectful, I'm not going to say no to someone who's 35 years old, you know, because I feel like I've taken care of myself. I make sure that I get my exercise in. I don't overeat. I'm flattered, and there's a lot of nice conversation. There's other things that, you know.
Sexual.
I'm a grown woman, you know. So I think it depends on the two people and the respect level that they have for each other.
I agree there.
For example, I think when you're dipping somewhere in the teens and 20s, that's a little...
That's kind of moving
towards childhood.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I do
and
think...
And what could you get out of that? What could you actually get out of
that? I think that's a whole different category there. I really do.
Well, then you become mommy.
Exactly. There are a few gentlemen who, in their late 20s perhaps, are still, they're still mature. You know, they're still pretty mature. But then it also depends on the woman. If she is just 40 or just turning 40, it's not that bad, but there's still so much. And then in your own conscience, you can't think that you're going to have this lifelong relationship with someone in their 20s, because it's not fair to them either. They've not lived, they've not experienced certain things. I think there is something wonderful that an older woman can bring to a 20-something-year-old, but I don't think it would really become a serious relationship. You know what I mean?
I just want to throw something out, and as a rule, even though I hate to have rules, because once you make them, you have to break them. But 20-year-olds, as a rule, are, you know, perhaps have not gotten the maturity that they need. But I really do think, on an individual basis, some people just come into the world as old souls.
Old souls, exactly.
And you know, there might be a 20-year-old. There was one younger man that there's only actually, even though I've had probably a relationship with, well, really, I'd say only one younger man that I had like a 9-year off and on thing with, who was 9 years my junior. But there was one younger man, oh gosh, about 6 years ago, so I was 44, and he was 26. But he was such an old soul, and he had been, you know, traveled the world, and
yeah,
he was this talent, and he was like a beautiful, creative singer, and had his own band, and we, you know, we just had this wonderful chemistry, and I actually felt like he was such a contribution to me. The only reason I didn't go there with him on a sexual level, because I would have, because I was single. But the reason I didn't was all he wanted to do was to have sex with me. Like, he was not available to have a relationship. And I suppose it's different. It depends on the woman. But for me, I know, like, I like consistency. I like relationship. I like knowing that I can, you know, I like building something, even if it's, you know. So if someone is just looking to, you know,
Have sex, then
I don't find that attractive personally. I'm not saying that, you know, there is sort of a stereotype of an older woman who's just looking for the one night stand. But
I was about to ask you, is that sort of the general definition of a cougar?
I don't think so personally, but I think that it really depends. What do you think, Bren?
I think that sometimes the media makes it that. They don't want to really feel that it could, a relationship with an older woman and a younger guy could be anything more than sexual. And I think that's where our show comes in so beautifully, because while our ladies have or are experimenting in the whole cougardom,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot more to it than just sex. And you find that out throughout the evening with these three ladies. And the way it ends up and just it makes you realize that it is more than just sex. It isn't like a sugar daddy. Because
mm-hmm.
to me, that is, you know exactly what that is. But I think that this is so much more, and I think it's more also because it's a woman. And like Donna said, women are more nurturing anyway and more feeling and more emotional than guys can be. So our whole relationship in this situation usually comes from a whole different side, a whole different aspect. So,
well, what do you think a younger man is looking for with an older woman?
I think they like our power and they like
mm-hmm.
our knowledge. They like that I think most of us come with a lot less baggage than younger girls.
Mm-hmm.
I think they like our wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
They learn from us.
Confidence.
Exactly. And I think, and I don't know, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I think if more younger men at least had an experience with an older woman, I think the world would be a different place because of how we enter mm-hmm. into these relationships.
You know,
well,
you
would develop him as a man, correct?
Exactly.
Exactly.
From a whole different level, not just this young man that's out there just grabbing it, but we come with an intelligence, a heart, a soul,
mm-hmm.
a love, a whole different loving side, a sensual
yeah.
side, a side that will explain things and make it safe for them, you know?
You know, part of my mission is not just to empower the woman over 40 to really embrace her life, but it's to really be a power of example for the young women, regardless of their, you know, of race or religion, whatever, but just the sisters who are being born on the planet. I really believe that we are the ones that are going to heal the planet through embracing the sacred feminine. And part of what my mission is with the show is to, as you know, the song, you know, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine," which I love. Anyway, I believe that as every single person, but it's really, we women have so much power. But as we step up and say yes to our light and our enlightenment and our value and our worthiness and our sacredness, then it just through like osmosis, we allow other people to let their light shine. And what we've been experiencing in the theater is after the show, like, Brenda, have you noticed this? How, like, people are just, like, they just want to hang around. They're,
yeah.
like, just standing
yeah.
there and standing straighter and smiling and just, like,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, saying yes to their life. And so
well,
I
is
actually.
Is your audience mostly comprised of women or is it a mixed
no.
audience?
No. Oh, my God.
It's a mixture. It's definitely
major
mixture.
A mixture.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the men are interested in. Are they interested in? Do they learn something?
I think they're
like
curious. I think one of the things is that they're curious as to what this whole cougar show is about, and I think they're surprised when the show is over because it's probably not what they thought it was going to be.
Right,
you know?
And the women as well. You know what
yeah.
we're experiencing, which is interesting, is there is a large entity of women who are put off by the title Cougar
mm-hmm.
the Musical. Like
mm-hmm.
they're like, I don't want to go see that show. That's
mm-hmm.
derogatorizing women. Or I mean, they have their own judgment of what
right.
they think this is.
Right.
So when they come in, they're almost like, you know, show me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, very soon they see that we're just taking them on a journey of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really about saying yes to life no matter what. And I have seen, we have a lot of young men who come, We have young women who come. We have older men who come. Women, you know, over 40, which is our, you know, mostly our demographic, obviously. But what I've been just feeling so excited about, Anna, and just like it just warms my heart, is that it seems like no matter what age you are, like, oh my gosh, we've had even really older people come, like a lot of them, and they're laughing as hard as the younger people. Like, I'm talking about 80. There was a woman in the audience who was 102. And
wow.
She loved it. She was laughing hysterically. Wow. So, like, we're just talking about life, and we're using
music
we're
using and humor.
The cougar construct as you know, just a means to really talk about, you know, encouraging people to say yes to their life.
Yeah.
And we are also talking, yes, about the demographic of older women who date younger men, but
yeah.
But there's so much more. It's so much more.
Yeah. Is that a large demographic?
I think it is.
Of
really
women,
do.
You mean?
Of
women
cougars.
Dating. Yeah.
Yes. I think it is.
It sure seems to be.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, though, now, I don't know, Brenda, what do you think of this? And maybe, Deirdre, perhaps you've experienced it. It's almost like the term cougar, and this is not in all senses, but it's almost like the term cougar might be branded more as just an empowered woman who is secure enough to be fully self-expressed and live her truth, whether that be with an older man or a younger man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's a shame they put a negative connotation on it, because it could be a really glorified word as well.
Well,
I agree.
What we're doing. That, and I really, really feel that is what's going to happen. And one good thing is that, or a couple of good things, we're the first ones really in theater that's presenting cougars, number one. We're the first ones presenting cougar in a positive light, that empowering kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to be what turns things around. I really do. I think that our show is going to be the catalyst that makes it okay, that makes it empowering, that makes it special, that makes it gives women permission to even say, yes, okay, if that's what you want to call me, yes, I'm a cougar and I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't have to be a negative title. It really, really doesn't. So I think our show is going to be the first show that kind of stands up and goes, yes, okay, fine. I'm a cougar, I look good, and I've got something to say.
And your show hasn't really even opened, right?
We're getting amazing feedback.
Yeah, it's been incredible. We opened for previews on August 10th, and then we started press previews yesterday, and we open officially, wow, I'm so excited, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to say that, like, it's not just the women who like the show. I know I had, you know, spoken about younger, older, whatever, but, like, men, the feedback I've gotten from guys is they haven't had so much fun and laughed so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we're really talking about, it's almost like we're doing an, this isn't like the way we can brand this, but it's almost like we're doing an archaeological, sociopolitical thesis about life and what's happening now in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think Brenda, when she used the word intelligent, you know, it's an intelligent show. We don't lower ourselves. We are here to, you know, really raise the vibration of the planet.
And also,
love is a factor, because you see people pulling away or moving away from love in a way. It's almost like people are just usury.
I think our country and our world is just so wounded right now that it's. I think people still want to be in love and have love in their lives, but there's so much other stuff going on, like how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to,
right.
you know, how am I going to feed my family? How are my kids going to go to school? There's so much of that going on
that it's
hard to feel the other love
right.
that's still in the world.
But with our show, and you'll see this tomorrow, is the thesis statement is it is love, and that not only is it, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe not all of us have the loving relationship in our life, or maybe, you know, we are wounded from our past relationships or what have you, but we have the opportunity and the potential to be love, to be loved, to be the love that we want to have in our life. Like, and our closing song really speaks to that. It's, and I actually think the healing that we will have and are having on the planet, and I'm doing my best, at least for the last 8 years, to be a part of, is love. I really think that that is the way. Love and light is truly the healing that we're going to have on the planet. And the access to that is, for women, I believe, is to embrace their sacred feminine. And even, like, if you go, well, how do you do that, Donna? The thing is, when you're alone, ask yourself, like, what is my sacred feminine? What is my sacred feminine? I find it's the questions we ask ourselves that create the answers in our life. Like, it's not what you tell yourself, even though I'm a big fan of affirmations, but it's also when you ask a question like, what is my sacred feminine? You allow that to
you
exist.
Allow the answer to come.
Exactly. And I know you know that, Miss, because you are incredible with everything you've accomplished. I can, you know, I know you've experienced this. I'm sort of preaching to the choir, probably.
Well, I've tapped into my own spiritualness by asking the question.
Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, you ask at some point, or you get to a state of maturity, I guess it is, when you ask, who am I and why am I here?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
And when you really want to know, the door opens.
Yeah. The answer comes, definitely.
Yeah. What they say when the student is ready, the teacher comes. Yeah, exactly. When the student's ready, the teacher comes. Or
yeah.
It's kind of cliche, but I think it's cliche because it has a real truth to it.
Well, you know, women's spirituality has gotten such a negative thing. They go back to Eve and blame women, but I personally don't accept that.
I haven't seen it as a negative. In my own life, that it saved my life, spirituality.
No, I'm talking about in the religious sense.
Yeah,
oh,
in history.
Yeah.
In history, where
exactly.
Eve is blamed for all the ills of the world because it was
yes.
her fault.
Okay. Exactly.
And powerful women were called witches and all that kind of stuff.
But this is why when I say to you, like, I believe that this cougar phenomenon is an energetic yearning to embrace a more matriarchal system, you know,
yes.
because it was the older woman used to be revered. And the reason why we're perhaps sexualizing her or derogatorizing her is it's just like old remnants of an old way of thinking that, like, from a millennia of patriarchal dictation, and it's just the way it is. It's not even bad or good.
I think it's the fear of the power that women have too. That sometimes when you find something, or when the media or man finds something so powerful, they have to do something or put a tag on it that makes it less than it is, or makes it a negative. You know,
well, it's interesting. The PBS did a show where they went to some South American country where the guys practiced the old rituals, and none of the women were invited. It was always a male practice. So they approached the witch doctor, or whatever you want to call him, the man of knowledge, and they asked him, why are the women excluded? And he said, because it was always the women that had the power, and we
that's
stole
right.
it, so we're not going to let them have it back ever.
That's right.
Well, but, and you know what? And that is true. Yes.
Even in Catholicism, the women of the church, way back, they were the powerful ones. And when the men decided, oh, no, 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 we can't let them be too powerful, that's when the witch hunt started. That's when all of that started, and the women were not allowed to be priests,
I mean,
or preachers or any kind of hold any kind of holy position.
And even now, if you look at our I don't want to say, our sisters who are wearing, forced to be wearing burkas and what
mm-hmm.
have you, like
mm-hmm.
that's like the, such an extreme. But I do have to say that we are responsible. Women, I just want to speak for myself because I don't really like telling anybody else. I just know who I am and what works for me. But as a woman, I bought the bill of goods, I bought the bill of goods that I was sort of, looking for my father's approval, the
mm-hmm.
men's approval. Like, if I, if I had a man in my life, then I was, I looked for my validation outside of myself. And so my journey has been, and the blessing of having this, show in the last 8 years, and knowing that the mission was about embracing the sacred feminine, even when I didn't even know what that was. But, I was asking the question. But I do think that we women need to take responsibility for what we say yes to. And when we, and also forgive ourselves for, I drank the Kool-Aid or the mayonnaise, I drank it. I lived in that patriarchal life and civilization, and I was never fully self-expressed until I actually gave myself permission to live my truth. And then again, it goes back to this little light of mine. I actually think that this can be a much more gentle healing, and then it doesn't have to be crazy hysterics, which is funny because there's a whole thing about the vibrator I don't know if you know the story about the vibrator, how it started in the 1880s because women were thought to not have sexual desires, and they experienced hysteria, which was like a general malaise, a depression, and someone came up with this vulvular massage that doctors would do, and it would take them an hour to create something called paroxysm, which is actually an orgasm.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the women were like chilled out, right? Which
right.
is so funny. And our show, I'm not going to give anything away, but our show kind of talks about that. But I guess my point is that, what am I trying to say, is that I just think that we have an opportunity in each moment. Every moment is new unless we are thinking an old thought. So it's like we have an opportunity in every moment that we are alive to say yes to who we are and what our truth is. And once we dare to like dream or dare to believe that maybe we can have what we want or, be happy, I
mm-hmm.
think we will then be happy and we will allow other people to be happy. Because, that is what I've been seeing, in the last 8 years, and especially now with myself, because I've been through I've been through very difficult time. Certainly in the last 4 years, there's a reason I'm writing. I need a lawyer or a hitman, but because I didn't give up. And because I kept moving, and now I have this show that's, off Broadway, that's speaking to a voice of women and men, and I also have these two beautiful daughters who are they're just so high functioning, and people know what I've been through, and yet they see me blossoming at 50. It's like I can be a power of example, which is what I believe we can all be power of examples by living our life and living our truths. And,
well, is it difficult as a woman? They say it's a man's world. I don't know. Well, the reason I don't think it's a man's world because no man can come here, least he come through a woman.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I think it's as difficult as you make it or it's as difficult as you allow it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, there's a funny, not funny, but there's a saying in Dreamgirls, Effie, we all got pain. And we all have our trials and tribulations. So it's how you deal with them, how you bounce back from them, how you handle the people around you when you're going through them. You know, everyone has a story. You won't have a testament without a test and all of those good sayings. I think it's how you deal with life and what life throws at you or gives you or hands you or makes you go through. How you handle it is what makes you the strong person or the survivor. You know?
And don't you think that's necessary, though? That it really is necessary to have challenge.
I think it is.
Because you look at people that have always had, and they seem like out of sync.
They're unhappy. Mm-hmm. They're unhappy. I think the challenge is what makes you who you are. It's what gives you the strength of being a strong woman like we are. If we hadn't gone through, I'm sure you have gone through your trials. I think if we hadn't gone through that, we wouldn't have been able to come out on the other side as strong women.
I do believe that everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, these songs in your show, all of them original? Every single
yes.
one? Wow.
Every single
they're
one.
They're beautiful songs. Oh, my God.
How many are
the
they?
Music.
We have, I think, is it 14 or 15? I think right now there's 14.
And it's beautiful.
And you wrote every one of them?
I wrote every one but one. Or I should say I co-wrote every one but one. There's one song that I wrote lyrics and music to. 13 out of the 14, I wrote all the lyrics. And with some people, they composed it. But with most of the songs, I also wrote the music. So, yeah, I have a hand in 13 of the 14 songs. And I feel very blessed. We actually have 30 songs because I've been working on the show for so long. And I almost want to do a show that was like the songs that didn't make it into Cougar.
Do a spinoff?
Yeah, or it would be a cabaret show, but I'd want Brenda Braxton in it.
Well, I'm going to identify the station, if you don't mind, ladies.
Not at all. Blake, please.
This is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul, and you're listening to Topically Yours. And today I have my guests, Donna Moore and Brenda Braxton.
Woo!
You're talking about Cougar the Musical. And we're having a fun discussion. And in fact, we were just talking about songs, but I looked up a couple of songs just to sort of give some ambiance to the show. And I'm going to play one now. It has nothing to do with the play, but it's called Boy Toy.
Ooh.
And that's Pat Cooley. Here we go.
You really need a break. dating younger men. I don't want you feeling self-conscious about it, because anybody looking at you strange, they're looking at you because they're jealous. They really don't like the look of that smile on your face. So just hold your head up high, stick your chest out, and grab your man and just go,
my boy, boy.
She has a younger man.
Oh, yeah. And that, I think that that is more the stereotypical kind of thought of a older woman with a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the boy toy and all of that. While it's a great song, I think it's still different than what we're trying to do.
Oh, exactly. You seem more highly evolved.
Exactly.
She's sort of like the Madonna type with the boy
exactly.
toy and the Lady Gaga with the boy toy.
Well, and even Madonna, Madonna first started out, she was more serious. I mean, yeah, they named him her boy toy, but I don't think that was the reason she really was with him, you know, for them to say, oh, look at her, she's got a boy toy.
Yeah,
I think there was something a little more there, you know.
I agree with Brenda.
Weren't they together for a long time? I'm
exactly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, it's interesting that it's such a fine line from what we're doing and what the society has kind of labeled this whole cougar thing. We're trying to bring it to a whole different level, a whole kind of universal kind of level. We're bringing it to a height that people don't want to really say or give credit for. They still want to keep it as boy toy or, oh, that's just a fling or whatever. But there's so much more to it than just that, or just naming us cougars. At least that's how I see it. You know, if I decide to date a younger person, I think because of the way I was raised, whether it's a younger person or an older person, I still have some kind of integrity behind who I date. Whether he's a younger guy that, you know, that has an old spirit, as Donna says, or someone my own age. I think I have integrity, and that's where we're coming from with our cougar phenomenon.
And I think that's the deal, to have honesty and integrity.
Exactly.
In any relationship.
In anything you do. Exactly.
Yeah, whatever you do in life, period.
Exactly. So we have the new cougar phenomenon.
Oh, I like that.
Call it the new cougar. Yeah.
Well, now I want to talk about your cougar teenies.
Ooh.
You have those on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Well, what is that about?
Well, sorry, ask me that again. I'm sorry. What is the cougar teenie about?
On Wednesdays, there's a cougar teenie before before the
show.
Okay,
the cougar teenie is a martini for the woman over 40. And it's made with pomegranate juice and vanilla vodka. So it has the antioxidants to keep you feeling young and the vodka to help you forget that you're not. and it tastes so good. But we're going to be serving cougar teenies right now. What we're planning on doing is having a Wednesday night dance party after the show, and serving free, you know, no more than two cougar teenies to the dance party, and that comes with a ticket. And I'm just going to take it back to a little bit more of a soulful and spiritual thing. It has been known and a proven fact, this is going back to the sacred feminine, which is really what this show, this is what the, my mission has been, and which, you know, Brenda and all of my beautiful actors, they get it. And that's why they're able to so exquisitely, you know, they are living it, and it's just so beautiful. But,
and who are the other ladies? We should mention their names.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah.
We have Catherine Porter, who is playing Lily, and we have Babs Wynn, who is playing Mary Marie, and we have Miss Beautiful Brenda Braxton, who is playing Clarity, and we have Danny Bernardi, who plays Young Buck, who is the, you know, the main male character, but he also plays Eve, an Asian woman in drag who owns a nail salon. He plays Bourbon Cowboy, Naked Peter.
Wow, what a name.
Goliath.
Oh, and Goliath.
Goliath, yes.
Woo!
So I was wondering if it was all these three women going after that one man, but it's not at all.
No, all different.
Yeah, no, no.
That's what makes the show so special. You're getting a peek into three women's lives who could be any woman on the planet, and how they have gone through this whole cougar phenomenon, and they come from, they take it from different angles, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Different lifestyles coming to this whole cougar phenomenon.
And
I
have
to
ask,
is there a cougar type, or cougars come from every walk of life?
Every walk of life. well, I mean, what we're really saying is that the cougar, it's not, it's just, the. I mean, what at least what our thesis statement is that the cougar, the reason we're even focused on it is because it's an energetic yearning for women to say yes to being the sacred females that each one of us is when we are born. And that's really what we are promoting rather than anything else.
And you know what else, how I look at it as well,
mm-hmm.
is that I did a show called Love, Loss, and What I Wore, and they had one of the
I have a funny story about that.
Yeah, one of the stories that we told, they talked about this store that used to be called The Forgotten Woman. Do you remember that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, The Forgotten Woman. And for me personally, once I hit 45, I started almost feeling like that poem, the Forgotten Woman. Because once women hit a certain age, it's almost like we're not looked at as
invisible,
sexual, as intelligent.
Isn't that interesting? It's so true.
It is. And my mission, like Donna has her mission, my mission is to bring sexy back.
And you are doing it, my sister.
You know what I mean? Because we are the forgotten women. Once you get over 45, no one considers you for certain things. In theater, they won't call you for certain things. You know,
and I think that's just so wrong.
It's so wrong. It's so
it really
long.
Is because the younger
so,
person is not even you've put the experience in you've done everything
exactly.
that you should be glorified at the
exactly.
point at a certain
but,
age.
Exactly.
And one of the beauties, one of the beautiful things about this show is we are creating ingenues at any age, just depending upon casting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, my experience is a little bit different because I've been living this for the last 8 years. I practice what I preach. I live my life. I've embraced my sacred feminine. I'm speaking my truth. I'm fully self-expressed. And I'm 50, and I have not experienced anything like that. If anything, I think I have more people being respectful and kind and attracted to me now
mm-hmm.
than when I was 40, when I didn't really believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also why I just want to kind of put out there for all the ladies who are listening to this right now, as you say yes to who you are and you start
mm-hmm.
vibrating at a higher level, people will respond to you
oh,
in a
yeah.
much different way. And that whole collective you know, of saying, like, you know, sort of that patriarchal dictation of, you know, once you reach a certain age, you're no longer sexy,
that's
you're
it,
no longer
exactly.
viable.
Mm-hmm.
I really think, and how I live my life, is that it is a thing of the past, and because I live it like it's my truth, and it is my truth, that is what is so for me. And so I just want to encourage other people to really live their truth and say yes to that, because if you say, you know what, I'm over the hill, that's how people are going to respond to you.
Exactly.
And if you say,
I
you know what,
say that.
I
you
matter.
To
too many people have declared themselves old or declared themselves
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly.
And when you do that, you write your own script.
Exactly.
Exactly. We are all the authors of our own play,
really
movie,
are.
Life.
People could see that. Is that what you, for those that don't even understand what you mean by sacred feminine, can you give us a brief synopsis of what that is for those that are saying, what is she talking about, sacred feminine?
Well, you know what? I think it's kind of like, you know, that we are, it's like a goddess or a god. It's like divine inspiration. It's like I am a channel of what is good. And I can access what I need to be happy and of service to myself and the people I care about and the planet, and not apologize for who I am, not feel ashamed for anything that's happened in the past, that I can live in the now. And I just believe that we are so much more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. Once we say yes to that, then, and all we have to do is say yes to it, it will start. We need to be in a relationship with ourselves, and one that works. And once that happens, I believe that everything else just seems to fall into place.
And I have to take it a step further just for myself.
Yeah, please do.
I have to be in a relationship with myself, but I have to also be in a relationship with God, whatever that is.
And I think the sacred feminine for me is, like, when I was younger, it was God, and I still believe wholeheartedly in God. But I think that when I say sacred feminine, I think I'm just speaking about the female, my female divinity.
All part of it too.
Exactly. Thank you, Brenda.
Well, don't you think that that's the problem, that they always say the father, son, where's the mother?
Exactly.
And it is the Trinity of Father, Son, Mother, God.
Yeah.
Or goddess,
exactly.
Because
but, you know,
even in ancient time, they recognized the goddess.
Exactly.
I also think people get so hung up on titles and labels and everything. You know what I mean? It's like whatever that sacred power is to you, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's God, Godmother, Mother Nature, Father Time, God, the universe, the energy, whatever that is to you is what allows you to then be your sacred feminine.
Exactly. And it's so much easier than we think it is.
It is.
Right, Brenda?
It really is.
It's waiting for us to just say yes.
We make it difficult.
It's really not that difficult. It's simple. I think God lives. You are God. God is within you. All that is God.
God is one. God is everything.
Exactly.
God is in
humans,
energy
molded in
different forms.
It's in everything, exactly.
And we just have to say yes to it.
Yeah. And people
tap into it and believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I think the formula is?
Well, the problem comes when people want to harness it and call it their own, just their own. It's not anybody else's. It's not the Catholics. It's not the Muslims. It's not the.
Exactly.
It's ours. It's everybody's. It's man, woman, child, animals, everything.
I love Brenda Braxton. I just have to say that.
Well, it's spirituality within you that moves beyond religion.
It does.
Exactly.
It's not about control.
Mm-mm.
Exactly.
It's an inner force and inner love.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I really think the formula is that you take your will, apply it to your intent, taking it to action, believing.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And I think whatever that takes to like, what was that first thing you said, Deirdre, that you take your will?
And apply it to your intent.
Okay, because there are some people who don't even have not even allowed themselves to know what their will is. They haven't even given themselves the permission because they're so busy living out someone else's truths or what
and
they think that they should
propaganda.
Do. And so there might be, you know, and there's wonderful tools out there on the, you know, in the planet now for people to like get the tools to really get in touch with what is their will and what is their truth that they can then do what you said and be like more
effective.
Well,
move away from fear and just trust.
Yeah.
I think people are being controlled by fear and all of this negativity that you have to look within yourself to find your own peace, your own worth.
Exactly.
And it's so hard, and I hate to keep
it
going
is.
Back to women our age, but it's so hard because you put your all into your home, your husband, your family, and a lot of times you get to a certain age, and if your husband leaves or if your kids finally grow up and leave,
what
then you're left as okay, who am I now?
Exactly.
So
some people only depend on that, and when it's gone, they fall apart.
They're lost. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our show, getting back to our show, even past being a cougar, it's about being an empowered woman.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
An empowered spiritual woman who knows that no one is responsible for her but her and her God, whoever her God is or whatever
exactly.
her God is.
And without sounding too like, you know, well, I'm just going to say it. If anyone is around the tri-state area and they want to experience just being really happy and really, you know, laughing and understanding, like, because we talk about so many things. It's like it's a very deep, full experience. You know, please come to the show and please, you know, I'm there at every show. My name's Donna Moore. Introduce yourself to me. Like, I want to just touch as many people's lives as I can.
Yes.
Well, do you have a meet and greet after the show, or how does that work?
No, we
have the actors come out, and you know, we talk to anyone who's still there.
Yeah, I mean, we meet and we do an impromptu meet and greet. I think, you know, once we open, you know, for instance, Wednesday nights with the dance party. Like Brenda, I'm hoping you're gonna get your freak on, but but like I'm planning, like, you know, we are accessible, we are here for people to talk to, you know, and certainly Wednesdays. We haven't done anything like, you know, after a meet and greet afterward, but the thing, you know, we are open to almost doing anything that's going to be of service to our fellow sisters and brothers.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we have run out of time.
This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much, dear.
It's been my pleasure to have you on the show, and I want to tell people again, if you don't know where the St. Luke's Theater is, it's located at 308 West 46th Street, and I think that's closer to 8th Avenue. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and as I said before, go get your tickets.
Yeah.
And you can get them by calling 212-239-6200.
Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Can't wait to see you and meet you in person.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. And you've been listening to the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. This is Deirdre Shuler, your host. And we were talking to Brenda Braxton and Donna Moore. And I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And while we're going to end the show with one more song by Pat Cooley, and that is Older Women, Younger Men. Or Younger Man, I should say. Good night.
I'm an older woman. the prime of my life. I'm so glad that I'm nobody's wife.
I'm an older woman. I'm looking for a younger man.
I'm in. You see, I had been with this man for a number of years, and I loved him dearly. But all those years, that man had been cheating on me, and I knew it, but I stayed there and I took it. And he went to the doctor some time ago, and the doctor told him that he had high blood pressure, and told him he was going to have to take that little pill. And when he began taking that little pill, that was the end of all of my thrills. Now, y'all can imagine how heartbroken I was. And he had caught what they call the dysfunction, which means that when it's time for us to make love, he's got to take a pill 3 hours before. And I'm supposed to be ready when he gets ready. And I'm supposed to know when he takes that pill. It's just too much. I just can't deal with this. I just can't do it. So I decided I was going to find me somebody to make me feel like I
don't
need
to. Don't think I can work it.
No, 'cause I still can't.